Do you want more?
Oh, I want more. I want so much more.
Do you want more? Just one more. Just one more. More of you, God. More of you, God. Just one more. Just one more. More of you. One more of you. Come and reach into my heart. Come and heal every part. I want more of you. Just one touch of your robe steals the weakness from my bones. I want more of you. I want more of you. I just want more. I just want more. More of you, God. More of you, God. I just want more. I just want more. More of you. Want more of you. When I posted this message, Lindsay put on the site, there's always more. More of him. More of us to be refined. Show us the more. And I stand up here today with no capacity to tell you how to get there. I'm going to teach words. I have a lesson planned. But it is so personal. Grabbing onto the more is so personal. Between you and Jesus. And I ask him, why'd you have me do a message that I have no capacity to tell them how to get there, how to do it? But here we are. Here we are because he always has more for us. He always has more for us to grow in. I'll start with this verse and then I'll explain a little bit about how and when this message sort of emerged in me. But from Ephesians, Paul says this, and I'm going to read this first and then I'll read the context for it afterward. But he says this, now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. So just pause there for a minute. Imagine something that you want him to do. Imagine something. And then add this part because Paul says he'll do imaginably more than that. So to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, and that's the key, his power working in us. That's a supernatural power. It's not a human power. And it's continually at work if we're cooperating and pressing in and pursuing him and chasing him. And it just says to him be glory. To him be glory in the church, in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, forever and ever. He gets the praise. He gets the praise for the immeasurably more work that he does in us. It's never about us. It's never about our gift. It's never about... It's all about him always. Always, always, always. And the context for this is Paul's prayer. Paul's prayer to the church at Ephesus, for the church, and he says, this reason I kneel before the Father. So he takes this bowed down posture, which is a model for us, a bowed down posture. He wants us all to take a bowed down posture. says, I kneel before the Father from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And then he has this amazing prayer for the people. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. That's a deep work. It's a deep work in your inner being. So that Christ may dwell on your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. He wants every one of us, this is Paul's prayer, that they grasp how wide the love of Christ is, how deep it is, how long it is, how high it is, to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. To the measure of the fullness of God. We want more, Jesus. We want more. This love that Paul talks about, Pastor Ben spoke so powerfully about perfect love last week. For us to grasp that perfect love, Paul understood that, and I wanted the people of Ephesians, the Ephesus church, to understand this love. And he knelt before the Father, praying that each one would be filled with the fullness of God. I want more of you, Jesus. I want more of you, Jesus. There's a line in that song that says, I pour out all I have, I lay down all I am, making room for you, Lord. I'm ready. I'm ready to open up my heart to receive not in part, but the fullness of who you are, Lord. I'm ready. The question is, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for more? It'll require something of you. His love and forgiveness is a free gift. Salvation's free. He paid the price. But to continue to receive more means continual pursuit of him and saying, Lord, heal every part of my heart. Don't let any part of my heart not be aligned with your will and your way. It's the whole idea that we hear over and over again, maybe from me, but from I think from all of us, about sitting at the feet of Jesus. What does that look like on a daily basis to sit at the feet of Jesus? What does it look like to be seated with him in heavenly places? And then to function, to live life from that place. We want more. We want more. So I was sitting on my porch this week. And I don't know about everybody else. I know about a lot of you, and I know the Lord's doing more. I know a lot of you are doing more to cooperate with him to receive more and to not know what to do with it all sometimes. And that's how I find myself sometimes. I don't know what to do with it all. And I spend a lot of time in contemplation. There's times when a frequent question of my wife's is, are you okay? Yeah, I'm okay. Not really. They're saying no. And part of that is true that I'm not okay because he keeps wrecking me. The thing about wanting more and then receiving more is he just keeps wrecking you. And you sometimes don't know what to do with that, and you don't know how to function in this world. I sometimes feel like I don't know how to function in this world because I wasn't made for this world. We were not made for this world. But yet here we are. I mean, we're here to function in this world, but we weren't made for it. Because we're seated with him in heavenly places. I knew I was going to be a mess for this message. So I'm sitting on my porch just contemplating. You know, we'd come back from vacation. We're going on another one this week, Friday. But I love, one of the things I love about vacation is that I have no time constraints. And when I'm on vacation, I have time with my wife and my friends. But I have a lot of just alone time with Jesus. And he just does stuff. You know, I'll put on When I Walk Eyes With You. I see my reflection when I walk eyes with you. I feel your affection. I love to get lost in you because you're my obsession when I walk eyes with you. Now, sit down at the lake just lost in his presence. And it's so rich. And he's making deposits, and I don't know what all the deposits are, but he's transforming me. And I walk away from all of that more equipped to go about doing what I'm supposed to do in life, knowing that I don't fit with the culture, knowing that I'm a strange bird. And I can't tell anybody else how to get there. You just have to do it. You just have to allow yourself to be broken before him and say, take me somewhere. Take any worldly thing out of me. So I'm sitting on my porch contemplating all this. I'm contemplating, we had just been at the Faith Festival last week, weekend in East Palestine that the Monte Leones put on. And there were lots of moments there. Got to serve food, and then Heart of David's worshiping, and I could worship with Heart of David every single day. Every single day. And there was this one point, we're right on the football field in East Palestine, and is her name Alexa or Alexis? The young lady, is it Alexa? Alexa is part of the Heart of David team, and she was no longer on the platform. She was just out on the field, and she's just like, just completely oblivious to any surroundings, of not worrying about anybody who's there, just completely lost in worship. And I was like, that's more. That's what more looks like. That's just one way. So I'm contemplating. I was thinking about that. I was thinking about just the amazing array of messages that we've had week after week after week after week after week. I think I heard someone say yesterday that sometimes it almost feels like an embarrassment of riches among us. An embarrassment of riches among us, of just the bowed down people we have here serving Jesus and serving you. And having so many people just keep saying yes, keep saying yes, keep saying yes, keep saying yes. And so I'm sitting there thinking about all of this. I'm thinking about all of these different things, and worship and prayer and Pastor Shane's message on tongues of fire, which I'll talk about a little bit more about. And I just sat there. It's like, more, more. We're living in more. And we'll be living in even more next week. More. And then there'll be more. Because that's what he does. That's who he is. We're not, we haven't arrived yet. We're still being worked on. And our word for the year is onward and upward, advancing the kingdom. And the reality is we're not going to advance in the kingdom without more. And I was sitting at fireworks last night. I'm not a big firework guy. I went because my wife wanted to go. And there's sometimes that I don't do things that I don't want to do. But sometimes we need to do things that our wife wants to do because she wants to do it. And so, you know, so I went, and here's the thing about it. I don't care about fireworks. The drone show was awesome. But I don't care about stuff like that. But here's what I saw. There were so many people from here there. I saw the body of Christ. And you know what else I saw? I saw Bobby Cato, Dave Guy, Ty Graham serving their community as representatives of the body of Christ. And that was worth way more to me. That was worth way more to me than fireworks. Because there are people. They're all sitting here today. And God's called them to service in their community. Two of them are councilmen on council there. And I love watching God's people be raised up, and they're advancing the kingdom by just serving. They're walking around the grounds during the, you know, before the fireworks, and they're just interacting with people. And it's like, I love seeing that. I love seeing that. So more of his presence, more of his worship, more prayer, more service, which leads to more holiness, which leads to more transformation. Because that's ultimately what he's doing, is he's transforming us. If we're willing to be transformed. So I found this in my notes. Thursday, I was looking up something in my notes on my phone. And here's what Pastor Ben said at Saturday morning men's prayer on September 28th, 2024, almost 2 years ago. It's the momentum of the yes that's happening. It's the momentum of the yes that's happening. And I don't know particularly what all was happening at that time, but there was stuff happening. There's still stuff happening. And it's the momentum of the yes. Keep saying yes. Keep saying yes. Keep saying yes to whatever's required of you. You see something that needs to be done, take care of it. Do it. You don't have to ask permission. You see somebody who has a need, reach into it and meet the need. Holy Spirit wants something of you, say yes to him. If he's saying, I want more from you in prayer, then pray more. I want more study from you, then study more. I want you to love better than love better. So yeah, it's the momentum of the yes that's happening. September 28th, 2024, Pastor Ben shared that. And I believe that's true then. I believe it's true now. But I also believe the opposite can be true. Say no and you'll stop the momentum like that. Say no. That's not my instruction. Hebrews 10. Familiar passage. We've looked at this before, and we're going to look at it again. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let's do that. How can we spur someone sitting next to you, somebody across the room next to you, to some new action, to some action for the cause of Christ? And then it says this, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but all the more, but encouraging one another, and all the more, all the more, all the more. Lord, we want more. Well, let's meet together more. Let's meet together more. Some are in the habit of not doing that. And so the reality is, when we have opportunity, and again, we are never, ever, ever going to be a people that will say, hey, show up every time the doors are open and do everything that we do. We'll never do that, because if it's under some sort of compulsion of, forget about that. But the reality is, he wants more. He wants more of us. He wants us to meet more, and there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. A couple weeks ago at men's prayer on Saturday morning, Mike Benner came. Mike and Connie Benner have been part of this church forever, pretty much forever. And Mike Benner's never been to men's prayer, but he came to men's prayer. We were so excited. Not for any particular reason other than he's here and he has something to contribute. You know, we don't just always come to something for what we're going to receive, but you have something to contribute. Whether you know it or not, whether you know it or not, because every person is uniquely and wonderfully made with unique and wonderful gifts, and when you join the equation, you're bringing something to the table that wasn't there before. Craig Melodine and Keith Groskos have shown up the last 2 weeks at Men of Valor. Most of us are just getting to know Craig in particular. I've known Keith for a long time because he came here years ago. That stuff's exciting when somebody new walks in the room because we're meeting together for a reason. He says, meet together for a reason because I'm doing a work in you together when you're in the room together. And he says, don't stop meeting together. But yet, for whatever reason, sometimes we stop. Sometimes we stop. And I'm convinced that if Keith Candle stopped coming to Men of Valor or Men's Prayer, we would miss out because he brings something to the table, like as each person does. And I'm just pointing out him because he's sitting right here in front of me. You bring something, your gifts. When Mike Benner came to prayer meeting 2 weeks ago, he was number 89 in 2 years. That's just me keeping records because I'm just a nerd like that. So in 2 years, 89 men have been to, different men have been to men's prayer. And on average, there's probably about 40 that are regular, semi-regular. And again, I'm just pointing that out. But every one of you who's been there made a difference. Brought something to the table, whether you know it or not. You may not have uttered a word out loud. But that's not relevant. You brought something by walking in the room because Jesus lives in you. And he's doing a work in us. Yeah. 2 weeks ago, that man's prayer again. I think it was the same week Mike was there. So Mike Glick comes to men's prayer pretty regularly, but he's had surgery and hasn't been able to come as often, hasn't been able to get around as well. And I had told Debbie, I said, tell him that if he wants to come, because it's kind of a steep incline to get down into Pastor Shane's basement. But if he wants to come, just let us know. We will pick him up and carry him into the room if we have to do that. And so 2 weeks ago, we're sitting at men's prayer, and the door opens, and there's Mike Glick. And then right behind him is Scott Linhart in his brace. And then right behind him is Larry Ricketts. Where's Larry? There's Larry. It's Larry Ricketts. And I thought, that Larry went and picked both those guys up. No, he didn't. Mike actually drove himself. It was just they were all coming in together. I thought he went and picked those guys up. And it's not, as his reputation precedes him, and Julie just said, it's not unlike him. And in fact, he had gone and picked up Scott. Scott had an accident. He cannot drive right now. He's available to come to this thing, but cannot get there. Holy Spirit spoke to Larry and says, go get him. Go get him. These are things we experience together when we're in the room together, that we get to see the hand of God just unfolding something that is so rich, and it brings more. It does a more work in us to say, I want to be like Larry. I want to see a need and help resolve a problem. Sunday night prayer. We have that tonight. We have that tonight. And yeah, sometimes people think, well, it's a holiday weekend. We should just probably not have prayer. Why? All the more reason. Well, some even thought maybe we wouldn't have prayer at Pastor Shane's because it was on the holiday. Why not? Why would we not pray on a holiday that we're celebrating freedom of a nation? Let's celebrate freedom in Jesus. Why would we not do that? The complexion of a room changes when you enter it because you're you and you're part of the equation. It's kind of a familiar phrase that Pastor Don used to say, just show up. That's how Abundant Life Fellowship was built. People just showed up. And Holy Spirit did things. And then he did more because more people showed up. And then he did more because more people showed up. So the more principle all is based on that. And stuff happens. Growth happens. I lead a class called Open Door here on Sundays. And in the past year, my daughter has started coming. And her son, their son, and I think Aaron usually comes and is either doing something with tech or whatever, but her son, Don, my grandson, has been in Kim Blakeney's class. And I remember the one week when he was in her class and she came to us afterward. I think maybe Caitlin and Aaron were away and Don was with us that week, that very first week, and he was in her class. And she said to us afterward, I want Don to be in my class every week. And so now Dom is in her class pretty much every week. And what I love about that is that even the more is happening in my grandson. He may not know it. He may still come up here when I'm down front and bring his trucks and cars and everything with him and have a racetrack and have a demolition derby while right in the middle of worship. But there's something going on. That when Papa goes up front, he sometimes wants to come with me. I don't know why he doesn't all the time, but sometimes that's just not on his mind. But I love the fact that my daughter's coming to our class, and my grandson's going to a class, because, and I don't know what all the more looks like. I don't know what the more looks like is not my business. It's between the people and Holy Spirit. But I always know that something's going on. So don't give up meeting together. And if somehow you fall and pray to that, repent of it and move on. I mean, there's good reasons why. I know everybody can't come to everything all the time, and I get that. I don't want to overemphasize that, but I also don't want to underemphasize that because that's what the Word says. The Word says, don't give up meeting together. Do it more as we see the day approaching. And I think it's pretty clear we see the day approaching. And again, I don't know what all the reasons are for him wanting us to meet more, but I think it has something to do with the fact that we are strengthened together I've had this kind of visual as I was working on this lesson. I've had this visual numerous times this week about this more message. And it's the phrase that, and you'll understand what I mean when I say it. It's about moving the needle. And when I'm experiencing some of my crazy moments with Jesus, I know the needle's moving. I don't know. There's something internally going on, and I know the needle's going like this. Or maybe it's a lower pitch. I don't know. But I believe every time we take another step with Jesus, that needle is moving. And I don't know how you gauge whether your needle is moving or not. But I think we need to pay attention. Because if there's no movement, there's a problem. Worship more, not less. Worship more, not less. Pray more, not less. Pray more, not less. So in Luke chapter 11, Jesus says this, "Father, hallowed be your name." We know this verse. It's the Lord's Prayer. "Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone else who sins against us. Lead us not into temptation." But let's start back at the beginning. "Father, hallowed be your name." Hallowed be your name. Start the Lord's Prayer is just worship. Worship. And then he says this, "Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." Bring it now. Bring it now. Let your kingdom come into my heart and my life and my mind and everything about me right now. Then he goes on and says this, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." There's actions, action words here that are for us. "Everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. To the one who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, you give him a snake instead? If he asks for an egg, give him a scorpion. For you then, though you are evil," yikes, "know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So when Pastor Shane was up here speaking about tongues of fire, and at one point he said something really crazy where he said, "I think you all should pray in tongues." And I was like, yeah. Yeah. Because we're not tiptoeing around tongues any longer. He gives this gift, and he says this, "If you ask, how much more will your Father in heaven give you Holy Spirit if you ask him?" So if you have the gift, use it. If you haven't received the gift, ask him and he'll give it to you. And if it hasn't happened right away, just keep asking. Paul says, "I pray in tongues more than all of you." He wasn't backtracking from that. Use it. Use it. It's tied to the more. It's tied to the more. But it will require something of you. He's not just going to make your lips move. You'll have to open your mouth and speak words. And it's awkward. But you'll get over it. I live awkward. I used to feel bad about it. I'm too old for that. What's your reason? You're not old enough to be. Oh my my goodness. How much more will your heavenly Father give it to you if you ask? But I tell you, it will require you to surrender self. Surrender self. What will people say? What will people say if I do that? Don't care. Don't care. Oh. I don't know what that's about. In Luke 12, Jesus teaches about watchfulness, knowing the master's will and doing it. So what do you know about the master's will, and what about it are you doing? Ask yourself that. And then knowing the master's will and not doing it, here's the conclusion of what he says. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. From everyone who has been given much, I don't want to like have you stand up or anything. But if you've been given much, I know a lot of you in this room. And I could walk around this room, you've been given much, you've been given much, you've been given much, you've been given much, you've been given much. So I can go all around this room, and there probably is not one person I wouldn't point to. So much more, much will be demanded. Much is demanded from you. That's just right from the word. And then he says, if you've been entrusted with much, now I know I've been entrusted with much. I'm senior pastor of a church. I know that I'm entrusted with much. I understand that mantle that I carry. I understand that responsibility. I understand that all of our pastors who've been called to be a pastor, much is entrusted to every one of us. But this is not a limited to pastor assignment. This is not limited. This is not limited. You don't have to be called to be a pastor, be entrusted with much. Many of you, I pointed out, you know, Bobby's on city council, Ty's on city council, Dave's a leader in the community. Much has been entrusted to their care. And because of that, much is required. Much is asked of them. If you serve in any capacity here, in some sort of a role, much is entrusted to you. If you're on the worship team, much is entrusted to you. And much more. Any capacity, because you represent Jesus. We talked about this in class this morning. So yesterday at men's prayer, one of the things we prayed, because we were doing the cornhole tournament in Columbiana yesterday, and one of the things that was part of our prayer yesterday was that we would just represent Jesus in how we function. You know, just hey. We're just leading the cornhole tournament. It's nothing real complicated about all that, although it was complicated for me because suddenly I found myself running it, and I didn't understand the board at all. I'm like looking at this board like, I should be able to look at this board and figure out what this all means, but I do not have a clue. And Bobby helped me initially, and then I put one name in the wrong place, and then I'm like, oh my goodness, help. But we prayed, and Dave eventually was able to get over there because whatever he was doing with the pickleball tournament was done, and then everything was fine. But in myself, I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing here. But I want to smell like the aroma of Jesus. I want to carry around the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus in me can shine. Because that's why we're here. That's why we're here. And it all worked out fine. I only made one mistake. But that's what we end up talking about that in class today, that we get to, in some way, I don't know what all that looks like, have the aroma of Jesus in everything we do. We carry around in him. We carry him around in our heart. Carry him around so that His life can be revealed wherever we go. So it doesn't matter what project we're working on, where we're assigned to go in any given day. We go with the mantle of Jesus on us. And we only do that with the more. The more. Because without the more, we'll grow tired and weary. And when we grow tired and weary, then pretty soon we'll pick at one another and we'll complain about one another and we'll find fault with one another and we'll, because that's just how flesh works. But see, when Holy Spirit is taking up residence in a greater capacity, more and more and more and more and more, we no longer feel like we even fit into this world system, which we don't and never will. Holy Spirit in us supersedes flesh. And I'm convinced sometimes stuff just falls off without us even knowing it. But sometimes we get a check in our spirit that says, don't say what you're compelled to say right now. Don't say what you're thinking right now. Listen to those prompts. It helps a lot. Oh, yeah, I'm running out of time. Familiar passage from John 3. A person can receive only what's given them from heaven. You yourselves can testify this. Now, the whole context with this was people were coming to John saying, hey, that other guy's baptizing more people than you. What are you going to do about it? You know? And he's like, hey, I'm not the one. I'm not the one, you know. I'm not the Messiah. I'm sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. A friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him. It's full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine and is now complete. He must become greater. Jesus must become greater. I must become less. And I know there's a context for this, but I believe it applies to this message. We must decrease. Flesh must decrease. Flesh must decrease. The only way flesh decreases is if I let more take up residence, if I allow myself to get lost in his presence, if I allow myself to be molded and shaped every single day, then I go out functioning not from flesh but from spirit. And then he does supernatural things that I could never do. You want to be used? Allow him to do more. I don't know what everybody's more looks like today, but I'm reminded as I close up this message, Dan Slagle several months ago at Sunday night prayer. It was a morning when Pastor Shane had spoken, and I remember this morning, and I remember thinking after Pastor Shane spoke, man, it was just another one of those. I mean, it's like you say this every week. That was amazing. This is an amazing message, and for whatever reason, I expected the altars just to be packed. You know, I expected just people to just responding all over the place. And that didn't happen. Like, you know, I don't get it. That's not really my business, but it kind of is. Peripherally, I suppose. But I wonder sometimes, and I'll get to what Dan said a couple months ago, but it's all about moving that needle. It's all about moving that needle because we're hearing these amazing, amazing, amazing messages. And we're stirred and we're touched, but does it move the needle? Does that move the needle in your heart in such a way that prompts you to go home or to not even go home yet while you're still here saying, I got to respond to this. That wasn't just a good message. That was a message for me. What do I need to do about this? And what Dan said at that prayer meeting that night was, was that there, I believe there's times, and I don't like to stereotype, but I think this is maybe more of a man problem than it is a woman problem. But I believe sometimes we as men say, and this is what Dan brought up, No, I'm good. I don't need to go to that. I don't need to do that. Because we think we're self-sufficient. We think we have the answers all figured out. Or that's just not me. I don't raise my hands in worship. Well, why not? The scriptures instruct about it. It's not a commandment, but it's certainly encouraged. Why not? Well, I don't know. It's just not me. Well, maybe Holy Spirit wants it to be. Maybe the me part of you is taking up precedence over the get over you. Okay, I'll quote Lindsay. Blame her. Get over you. I'm going to use that over and over again, quoting Lindsay Muir. But completely concurring. Get over you. Oh, anyway, God is so good to us, and he is doing a work, whether you see it or not, whether you're in the middle of it or not, he's doing a work among us, and it's transformative, but it's not just transformative for us as individuals, because the work is bigger than us as individuals. We have a message to tell a lost and confused and dying world, and it's all about Jesus. And the only way we're going to do that effectively and fully in the days ahead is to allow the more of him to take up residence in us. More and more and more and more and more. Let's stand. Worship song that says there's a hunger and a thirst. There's a hunger and a thirst. I'm desperate. I'm not waiting anymore. And I was thinking about that when I was going over my notes, and I wrote down, you know, hunger and thirst, and I was like, here's the question. Is there a hunger and a thirst? And I guess so. You can answer the question honestly, however it is. If the answer, yeah, there's a hunger and thirst, well, Holy Spirit wants to feed that hunger and thirst. And if the answer is no, there's not a hunger and thirst, then ask yourself why. Because there's a yes or a no to that question. Is there a hunger and a thirst? Are you desperate? As we go to prayer and worship, there's people here who will pray with you. If you need to just come. You know, I was thinking about this. I wrote this on my notes just this morning. So the last month or so, at the end of the message, Holy Spirit has said, just go down front and just kneel before the altar and pray. And when I was reading that passage about Paul praying for the church at Ephesus, I kneel before you and I pray. And that's been part of one of my prayers, is that, Lord, let us grasp the depth of your love. Let us grasp whatever was just preached. Let us grasp that. And so I come down here and I kneel before the Father and I ask him, Lord, let us grasp whatever you want to do. Because I want to see the needle. I want everybody's needle to be just going crazy. Because we're so interacting with Holy Spirit so regularly. And so as we go to prayer now, talk to him. Talk to him. It's okay, Mila. Mila, 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 Mila. Mila, I always get it wrong. I think I'm going to get it right the next time, and then I don't. one of these days. She graduates high school. Jesus, you're so good. I just ask, Lord, as we close out this time together, that you will just do what you do. Keep moving the needle in us. Keep moving the needle in us. Let us even see the needle. We thank you for more. Yeah, more of your love, more of your power, more of you in my life, Jesus. More of you. In your name I pray. If you need prayer, there's people here. If you just want to rest in his presence, come do that.